Welcome to another episode of Jill on the Hill, the podcast where we take a holistic look at the issues facing college athletics today. I'm St. Joseph's University Athletics Director Jill Bodensteiner, and joining me is my co-host from St. Joseph's very own class of 2004, Jeff Martin.
Hello.
How are you doing today, Jeff?
I'm great, Jill.
Thanks for your ongoing support of the podcast. In our episode last month, we talked about how student-athletes are making their voices heard. We talked about efforts like the Student-Athlete Advisory Council and our Student-Athlete Steering Committee here on Hawk Hill. And there are more ways than ever for our Hawks to play an active role in making sure that their experience on and off the field of play is what's actually best for them.
Right. And I talked with a couple members of the Steering Committee after we recorded that episode, and they told me that one of the topics that quickly rose to the top when they met was mental health. One of the most talked about characteristics of elite athletes, especially here in Philadelphia, is mental toughness. But more and more over the past years, star athletes have been coming forward and sharing their struggles with mental health. Just off the top, Michael Phelps talked about his fight with depression before the Olympics. Kevin Love shared that he's actually suffered an anxiety attack on the court. So the idea that top-tier athletes are these perfectly oiled mental and physical machines is a little bit misleading, isn't it, Jill?
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Jeff. And this, it's been really refreshing in some ways to have these folks tell their stories. And so the stories of professional Olympic caliber athletes have really, I think, helped to open people's minds to the fact that athletes, as you said, are not invincible and they shouldn't have to pretend to be, maybe more importantly. College athletes are certainly no different, although each individual and every level, there's a different set of issues. Each individual brings his or her own circumstances to the table. So it's certainly difficult to make any generalizations, but it's been a really good thing for our collegiate level student athletes to start hearing these stories and reading these stories. And I'm really proud of our athletes here at St. Joe's. I think many of them are really able to maturely, professionally articulate that they want to get some additional help, and it's been great to see. And I think there's no doubt that some of these stories have helped them reach that place.
Yeah, so speaking about that, student athletes here sort of making it known that they want to talk about mental health. I want to ask you a little bit about Hawks Minded. It's a student athlete peer support group where Hawks can meet to talk about mental health and provide a student athlete presence at mental health events around campus. Can you tell me a little bit how the group got started?
Yeah, I'm really proud of this group of student athletes. Senior sprinter Caroline Duffy deserves really most of the credit for this Hawks Minded group. She had a vision of a peer support group, and she's personally been very open to sharing her own journey. And as I like to tell student athletes and prospective student athletes, the journey's just not going to be linear. Everyone's going to have their peaks and valleys, and those come in different forms. And Caroline's been really open to sharing her journey and hoping to help others. So Caroline took her vision to Dr. Eric Ladano, who's our relatively new Senior Associate Athletics Director for High Performance. And they immediately recruited a board of interested student athletes. And together, sort of that board and organizing committee and Caroline and Eric, they've worked together and brought Caroline's vision to life. And the beauty of the Hawks Minded is that it's really peer-only meetings where the student athletes have a forum to talk about issues that they're facing free of judgment and just sort of get it out there. I think sometimes just hearing that your peers are facing similar issues can make the journey feel a lot less lonely. So delighted with the leadership of Caroline and many others on the organizing committee, and I'm really pleased with what they've created.
And that's an important point. By taking a leadership role in talking about these issues, they're breaking down stigmas associated with mental health, because it's not like a pulled muscle or a broken bone where, it's easy to describe and see what's keeping an athlete performing their best. But mental struggles can be just as impactful on your ability to perform well.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Jeff. I'm a big believer in the concept that, if the goal is that we're trying to reach our potential in so many areas simultaneously, and we tell our student athletes we're trying to help develop you as a student, as a person, and as an athlete, who among us couldn't use a little guidance in those areas. So, you know, the stigma's being reduced. People are seeing it as a true opportunity to bring out the best in themselves. And to me, it's been really, just in my short time here, been fun to watch the student athletes really embracing it. I'm really, really happy with where we are.
And speaking of seeking a little guidance, Hawk Hill also recently welcomed its first ever dedicated sports psychologist. Can you tell me about the process that sort of led to that decision?
Yeah, so I'll tell you a little about the process, and then I'll talk a little bit about Dr. Willannon, which is, this is really, really exciting. He's great at what he does. So process-wise, this was made possible through the generosity of some university donors who understand the importance of investing in our student-athletes and their well-being, and I'm really, really thankful to those individuals. So, you know, Eric and I worked to kind of create the vision, if you will, what would ideally, and keep in mind, by the way, this is supplementing or complementing, I should say, CAPS, which is the university's counseling and psychological services group. That they do an outstanding job, and this is not meant to replace them. This is meant to work along with CAPS as one option. People may be seeing a CAPS counselor but want some specific help on visualization in their sport, and they may see Dr. Willannon, and others might feel comfortable going straight to him because of his location or his expertise, but CAPS has been a fabulous partner with athletics and with our student athletes. So Eric and I met with several local practitioners over the months, and I think everyone we met with had either experience working with college-age students and or specific sports psychology experience. And at the end of the day, Dr. Willannon had worked with some of our teams doing team sessions on sports psychology related issues, and we got really good feedback, and he expressed interest, and so we're thrilled. His background is perfect. So he has significant clinical experience working with all different level athletes. But he also is a well-known researcher focused not only on sport performance, but also he's done a ton of research on anxiety and depression in college-age athletes. And so he's really full service, and like I said, will be a great complement to the CAPS programming and services that already exist on campus. So we're thrilled.
So between CAPS and Hawks Minded and Dr. Ladano and Dr. Willannon, you know, that's all helping to tackle the issue here on campus. But what about from a national perspective? How's the NCAA approaching mental health resourcing for student athletes?
Well, I'm going to say again for our listeners that the NCAA is us. It is the member institutions. And so when I say this, I'm not knocking the NCAA, but I think collectively we were a little late to the game. I think for several years there was so much emphasis, appropriately so, put on the physical well-being, on safety, on physical resources. Concussion has taken a lot of our time over the past several years that I just think collectively we were a little slow to recognize some of the unique not just pressures, but time management and other features of student athletes. So for several years, the NCAA did a great job of offering, I'd say, best practices and resources and education. And I think both at the national office and as a membership association, we've stepped up our game considerably over the past 3 to 5 years. So there are fantastic resources available for student athletes in effective August 1, 2019, the Power Five, if you will, also known as the Autonomy Five Conferences, which is the ACC, Big Ten, Big 12, Pac-12, and SEC. If we haven't already talked to our listeners about this, we will soon. There are certain topics on which those five conferences can now pass their own legislation. So this mental health package was initially a Power Five package that was, I think, adopted in spring 2019. And so what that legislation said is that every Power Five athletic department has to not only provide mental health services, either in athletics or through a campus partner, but it says mandatory education and provision of information regarding those resources to all student athletes. So again, for years, we've been doing that on sexual misconduct. We've been doing that related to sports betting. So this sort of fits in with those with those other issues. So although that was Power Five, the Atlantic 10 and other non-Power Five conferences have quickly jumped on that mental health initiative. So we've done a lot of work in the past 12 months to educate our student athletes, going team by team, talking about, you know, this is what anxiety is, and this is what depression is, and this is what sports psychology is, and here are the resources available to you through CAPS, through campus ministry, through your athletic trainers. So we've, you know, and then as you educate, people become more knowledgeable, and hopefully you reduce any stigma that remains. And we've had really great success in our student athletes taking advantage of the resources.
The education is such an important piece, because once you know, A, that, you know, other people might be feeling the way you're feeling, and once you know the label that you can put on what you're feeling, it just opens up a whole world of ways for you to approach it. And that's super duper important.
I couldn't agree more. I'm the child of a retired social worker. My mom was a therapist, and so I may have been a little bit more in tune, and I've had my own nonlinear journey and have sought help and received great help. And so I think, you know, sometimes growing up in the household I could take for granted a question like, what's therapy like? Or what would it do for me? What could I expect from it? And just to remove that mystification a little bit, you know, has been part of our goal and part of the process. And so I totally agree that education I think when, you know, for some people are actually diagnosed, some people aren't. For those who do receive a diagnosis, I think from a lot of anecdotes I've heard, there's both there's a feeling of relief. There's a name for this. Other people have it. There's help, and there are ways that I can work with it. So your point's well taken, and I think all of this, we're really entering a new era, and it's about time. I'm really, really happy that we're in the space we're in, both locally and nationally.
So this might seem like a strange question, but what can we do as fans to support student-athletes speaking out about mental health, and what can we do to support their mental health journey? Like the sports radio caller in my head wants to say, you know, never boo a team because you don't know what a player is going through. But I know that's not realistic or helpful, or is it? What can fans do?
It's actually a great question, and I think your sports radio caller instinct is probably correct. I guess I would ask fans and everyone else who comes into contact with student athletes, frankly, at any school and in any sport, to remember that these are really young people making a transition from adolescence to adulthood, which can be scary enough for anybody. They're balancing 15 academic credits with 30 plus hours related to their sport. And then many of them on top of all that have the same stressors and peaks and valleys in life that so many of us deal with. And so no one wants to succeed more than these young men and women, and they already put considerable pressure on themselves. So my message is cut them some slack. You hear a lot about generational differences, and, oh, is this generation, better or worse than? I mean, every generation's just different, and we need to adapt. We're in the business of educating and developing young people, and if we don't adapt to all the wonderful aspects of the current generation and also the differences in the way they're navigating life, then we're going to be behind. So I guess as with everything in our world today, which can often be a contentious place, I just ask for people to give them a little space.
Sure, and just because, you know, if you grew up feeling anxiety sometimes and you never got treated for it, that doesn't make someone now, a young person now who seeks treatment for anxiety or depression, any lesser. It just means that the world knows more now, and the world knows how to address these things better.
Absolutely, and I'll end with this, Jeff, is that we could talk about this for another 20 minutes, but the impact of today's college-age students and social media is a heavily researched and fascinating topic. And, you know, social media, again, has provided such a wonderful ability to stay connected across the globe. It also carries with it a whole different set of issues, expectations, instantaneous comparisons, and all sorts of things. So, again, I think that's, you know, asking folks to give students and student athletes a little space to work through this journey. So yeah, Jeff, thanks for engaging in a conversation. That's something really near and dear to my heart. My mom was a therapist, my dad a law professor, so I decided to major in psychology before going to law school. So I've always had a special interest in these issues. And that, my friends, will do it for this episode of Jill on the Hill. We'll be back next month with a new topic. For more Hawk audio content, check out the St. Joseph's University Athletics radio show, which features coaches and players from all our different teams, and a new project, The Kettle Club, where Avery Mars from the class of 2018 and Brendan Roach from the class of 2019 have insightful discussions with other student athletes. Both of those podcasts, along with this one, are part of the St. Joseph Sports Network and can be found on sjuhawks.com. Until next week, thanks for listening. The Hawk will never die.
Go Hawks.